So if I were a believer in the days when Jesus was walking the earth, there's a pretty fair chance that I would have been a Pharisee. For the most part, I'm a rule follower, and that's the Pharisees to a T. They get a pretty bad rap in the gospel, but they probably mostly started with good intentions because there were all these rules in the scriptures about cleanliness and how you went about living your life in a way that pleased God. And the Pharisees thought that that was such an important thing that they devoted their whole lives to teasing out the meaning of the rules for religious life. For Pharisees, following the rules was about the faithfulness they could show to the God who had for so long been faithful to them, which is why they had a problem with folks who were loose and fast with those rules. Folks like Jesus who went so far as eating with tax collectors and sinners. Tax collectors were the local folks who had signed up to help the Roman occupiers for the sake of profit. So you can imagine they weren't well thought of. Just think of the IRS and how glad you are to deal with them. And in addition to that, in addition to them coming for your money, imagine that they're sending that money off to fund an occupying enemy army instead of your own government. These tax collectors were despised. Sinners, though, is a little harder to pin down. In our Lutheran theology, we would say we're all sinners, right? It's only God's love in Jesus that could put us into right relationship. But in this setting of first century Judaism, sinner probably didn't mean what we Lutherans mean. It probably also didn't necessarily mean that these were morally bad, wicked people. It could just be that they were believers who, for one reason or another, did not follow all the rules and ritual of the cleanliness system. And so, whether they were believers or not, they were outsiders. By choosing not to play by the rules, they made themselves not welcome in the worship life that centered around the temple. And if you're a Pharisee, if rules for you are the way that you live out your life with God, then disregard for these rules was seen as disrespect to the God who had given them. And these disrespectful sinners are the kind of people that Jesus is hanging around with. Did your mama ever tell you to be careful about the friends that you choose and who you hang around with? I think my mama told me something about that one time. Something along the lines of, people will judge you, right or wrong, people will judge you. Teachers and coaches, your peers, they will judge you by who your friends are. So make sure you're not getting in with the wrong crowd. It's one of those things I think that sounds strange as a kid, but when you're a parent, it makes total sense, right? Well, the Pharisees are doing exactly what our mamas warn us people will do. They're looking at Jesus and they're grumbling about the company he's keeping. Not only is he letting these undesirables hang around, he's going so far as to eat with them. In the ritual cleanliness system, eating with the unclean is a big no-no. But the thing is, throughout the ministry of Jesus, Jesus has consistently demonstrated that he cares a lot more about the actual people and their needs than he does about the rules people aren't following. Which is not to say that the rules don't matter, but it is a clear prioritizing of the infinite worth of all people apart from their adherence to the rules. When Jesus looks at people, when he looks at tax collectors and sinners, when he looks at you and me and the inmates down at the prison, the first thing Jesus sees is not our status under the law, but the image of God in which we were created. When God sees us, even with all our faults and flaws that God knows about, what God sees first is precious child. And that's what makes these parables make sense, because without that, they pretty much sound crazy. Who wouldn't leave the 99 sheep in the wilderness and go find the one that was lost, Jesus asks. And you can just see all the people present going, not me, right? Because being a shepherd is not really about preserving every individual. It's about caring for the good of the whole flock. You can bet that if a wolf comes upon that flock while the shepherd is away, it's more than one sheep that would be lost. In a frenzy, a wolf is liable to kill a dozen and scatter the rest. And even if no predator happens upon them, well, these sheep left alone are prone to wander off, and you might split your group into three or four as the sheep wander in different directions. So from a risk management standpoint, from an economic standpoint, the safe thing to do is to cut your losses and stay with the sheep you have. But as it turns out, God's accounting counts value differently than the world does. What we have is a God who risks it all for the sake of finding the one who was lost and bringing him home. And we see this clearly in the ministry and the life and the death of Jesus. He doesn't take the safe route, right? Jesus, who does not compromise for the sake of smooth relationships with the powers that be, instead, Jesus fully lives out his mission of bringing healing and wholeness to all people as he ushers in the kingdom of God. And when he finally steps on one too many toes doing it, they kill him for it. But this is the kind of God we have. A God who loves you, who loves the sinners and outcasts, a God who loves the rule followers and all the rest so much that God relentlessly comes to save us. We have a God who will not be stopped, even by the worst that sin and death can do. In Jesus, God faces that death in love for all the world on the cross for the sake of finding us and bringing us home. That's good news, folks. God does that for you. But we can't forget that God also does that for the ones that the good religious folks wouldn't be caught dead with. We can't forget that the reason Jesus even tells these parables is that people are grumbling about this attention he's paying to sinners. We do well to remember, we are those sinners, completely dependent on the God who finds us and saves us. We're no better off on our own than the people we might scoff at and deem as outsiders, rule breakers, or undesirables. All of us are lost sheep, coins, lost in the dirt. And what's a coin going to do to save itself, right? The children knew that was ridiculous. In love, though, God does what we couldn't do, what we couldn't deserve or hope to achieve. God finds us, seeks us out, and brings us home with rejoicing. In gratitude, then, we give thanks to God by doing what God does. Seeing people not for their religious status, country of origin, the economic risk they pose, or the level of sin we perceive in them, but we see them for who they really are, the ones made in the image of God, whom Jesus has died to save. Amen.